Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned.
Welcome, everybody. We're live with Pastor Rick Bell from Texas, heavenlywarriors.com. Brother Rick, you want to open it up in prayer tonight?
Absolutely. Father, we come to you once again, and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the ability you've given us to communicate. Your word is precious, Lord, and as it goes forth tonight, let it accomplish what it's set forth to do. And Father, let everyone that's hearing this message tonight be changed and touched by you and never be the same again. And we believe that in Jesus' name, and we say amen.
I say amen to that. Brother Rick, welcome back. Good to have you on, and the mic is yours.
Well, thank you, brother. You know, I was thinking about what the Lord would want me to share today, and one of the things that I pondered on is the problem with negativity. You know, the world, Shannon, has so many people who... There are two kinds of people in the world. One of them sees the glass as half full, and the other one sees the glass as half empty. And we have so many people who are seeing, they look for the negative in things instead of the positive. And by the time this teaching's over tonight, I hope you may have a new way of seeing things, a new perspective as to how important maintaining a level of expectancy and positive optimism in your life will be with regards to receiving miracles and receiving the things that God has for you. So let's start out with this. This is kind of an interesting quote. It's from Lawrence Pearsall Jackson. He says, "The pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, but the optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." You have to listen to that a couple of times to get it. But it's just a different way of basically seeing the world. It's a different worldview. And negative people, negative thought processes can literally block many of the things that God has for you. Let's pick this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And Paul is speaking. And he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He goes on in verse 6, it says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So I want to take each one of these verses and get into it and dig in a little bit and what this is actually telling us. And it's a treasure trove of wisdom here. And back in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, it says, "And behold, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." You see, Paul didn't come in his own ability because, honestly, he didn't care what they thought of him. He wasn't there to impress them. He wasn't there to win a popularity contest. He says, I didn't come in my own ability. I didn't come with excellence of speech because I don't care about any of that stuff. It means nothing. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because that's all that matters in the end. Not how slick your message is or how fancy you can speak and the words you can use in your eloquency. All that matters is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and what Him, Jesus, being crucified means to us. How that changed things for us. That's all that matters. In verse 3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, the problem we have nowadays is we look to our own wisdom, and we fall victim to what I call, as I've taught before, unconscious incompetence, meaning we don't know what we don't know. A perfect example of this is when you move in the supernatural and you teach, that becomes your world, that becomes your reality, the bubble that you move in. And you will start to notice when you are sold out to that, and it is completely real, it is your reality, you'll start to notice that others, they don't move in that kind of faith. It's not a reality to them. It's like, yeah, maybe it could be real, it could be true. Miracles might happen. I'm not saying they don't, but you just have to prove it to me. And people wear this badge around of having to be proven something to, like it's an admirable thing, like you're somehow smarter than the rest of the class because, yeah, you're going to have to show me. I don't know about all that. That's going to have to be proven to me. And see, those people who move in that pessimism, and here's the thing, you can take a miracle and you can share it with 10 different people, and you will get, if it's just a random selection of people, you'll get a random response from them. Half of them will probably try to explain it away and say, well, you know, that could have just been this. That could explain that away. And then the other half will say, wow, that's amazing. God is good, isn't He? That's good, because they go through life with a sense of faith and belief. They are looking for miracles to happen. They're not looking to disprove miracles. They're looking for the validation that they are there. And it's two different ways of looking at the world. It's two completely different worldviews. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. So, 1 Corinthians 2, picking up in verse 4 now. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, Paul understood that it had to be a power thing. He had to demonstrate in power, not what his words were. Your words will only take you so far. You know, there's an old saying in the boxing ring where I come from, and that is, you know, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Can you back it up? Can you do what your mouth says you can? There was a very famous boxer named Muhammad Ali. His real name was Cassius Clay, but he converted to Islam, changed his name to Muhammad Ali, and everyone knows him. He's probably the most famous boxer that ever lived. He said he could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. And he could do that. He could back up what his mouth said, but so many others, they couldn't really walk the walk. They could talk the talk, but they couldn't walk the walk. So here the Apostle Paul realizes that it doesn't matter the words he uses and how eloquent they are, that people are going to have to see some power. And that's what he's talking about, the Holy Spirit power. When I go into the prisons on my weekly ministry, I am allowed to teach certain things, and certain things I'm not allowed to teach. They don't, you know, the administration of the prison system doesn't really want a lot of Holy Ghost power being taught in that prison. They don't care if it's generic kind of God is great, God is good type stuff. They just don't want any, quote, radical from the Christianity. Now, every other religion is allowed in there. Islam and even, you know, satanic stuff worship is allowed. But if you start getting too far into that Holy Spirit stuff, and then you'll get called down on the carpet. Just the last, one of the last times I was there, you know, these are men. This is a men's prison that every week I go. And their sentences are anywhere. One guy in there is serving 168 years. He went into prison when he was 18 years old. He was a gangbanger. Young guy, he's got tattoos all over his neck and, you know, up his face and all that. But he became a born-again Christian and really a nice guy. Just, you know, made the mistakes. But these are hardened criminals in here. And they had this chapel that's a really nice building. It sits right in the middle of the prison. You have to imagine the prison is like a pod. Like there's a center and then all of these ancillary hallway type things shoot off from that. And everything's kind of interconnected and there's a control thing. Well, right in the center of the yard, there is this chapel that was donated and built for them. It's very nice. So they come in there and ministries are there every day. Literally 7 days a week, ministries are lined up to come in and minister to these men. And the women's prison is of course a whole separate thing. And I do the women's prison sometimes, but I got kicked out of the women's prison for doing Holy Spirit stuff. I mentioned that before on the show, that the Holy Spirit began to fall in there and these ladies were being delivered of things and receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit and getting healings. It was a very powerful fire of God falling in there, and they kicked me out the next week. The administration did. Yeah, you know, it's bad when you get kicked out of prison, Shannon. That's not good on the resume. But it goes with the territory with this Holy Spirit ministry. So I go in every week to this men's prison and do 2 hours of teaching on the Holy Spirit. And I do, it has to be, well, the teaching has to be disguised a little bit. And I hate to use that word, but it's just the truth. Thank God the chaplain who's in charge, who brings me in, happens to be a Holy Spirit-filled chaplain. He moves in the power of God, and he wants these men filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit because he knows that's the only thing that's going to change them, really permanent change. So all of these other ministries come in, and my time slot is, you know, a certain day of the week, and I go in there at 1:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon, and these guys are lined up, ready to get in, come in, and hear this. So I'm allowed to teach the book of Acts. That's my Bible study, the book of Acts, and we chose Acts because that's the power book. You know, that's where really the model of the church and how we're supposed to do this thing is explained. So I go in and teach that, and I'm in that, and I'm talking about the miracles and the power, and we get to that, the casting out demon stuff, calling the demons out. And I tell the men that I do deliverance ministry, and that's really who I am, what I do. So at the end of the teaching, they're allowed to come up. And they come up, and to a man, every one of them says, "This is what we need in here. This teaching, this Holy Spirit deliverance stuff, this is the stuff we need." You know, we've got all of this other ministry stuff that comes in here every other day, but there's no power in it. And man, this is what they tell me, Shannon. We live in the devil's house.
Well,
this is the devil's house. This is where we live. And these demons, these things you talk about, we live with them in here. They're in here. We see them. We may not see them with our eyes. We see them in the people and the way they act. This is the devil's territory in his house. So please, Pastor Rick, please teach us. Teach us, teach us everything, everything you can. We know they won't let you teach us all the deep stuff. We know that. But please teach us everything you can. We need this information because we don't know what to do. We're in here trying to live out a Christian life, knowing that you don't have to convince us this stuff is real. Now, these are inmates. These are murderers, kidnappers, bank robbers, dope dealers telling me this stuff. They say, you don't have to convince us it's real. We see it in here. We see people act out. We see possessed people. Just please, whatever you, and I'm not talking about one or two guys telling me this, Shannon, every one of them. Every one of them, and they stand in line, you know, they can't all come up to you at once. One of them comes up and the others just, it's like an unwritten code they have. The others stand back like 15 or 20 feet. They only come up one at a time. And they're all saying the same thing. Please, please teach us. We need this stuff. We need to know what to do, how to do. Can you do deliverance in here? And I'm telling them, well, if I try, it'll probably be my last visit in here, unfortunately. They will shut me out. One of the last visits I was there, you know, they're guards, okay? They're just, I think, for I don't know however many prisoners, maybe 20 or 30 prisoners, there's a guard. So you have guards everywhere, moving around, watching you, coming in and out. They have something called a count they have to do certain times, certain hours. Everything stops, and they count. They do a count to see who's there. So when you're there and they do count, you have to, everything stops and they do that. Then you resume. So guards are everywhere. Some of the guards are happier people. Most of them are really disgruntled. I made an observation when I was in prison a while back. No, I wasn't in prison. I was doing ministry in prison. Let me clarify that the only people in prison that are happy with a smile on their face are the inmates. The guards are miserable. That's right. The guards are miserable, Shannon. The inmates are happy, dude. They're coming out of chow hall, going to lift weights and watch some TV in the rec room. And the guards are like, just miserable, hating their job, hating everything about it. And you can see this difference, which is such a strange thing. But here these inmates are asking for to be taught as much of this Holy Spirit stuff as I can sneak past the guards. Because a couple of weeks ago, one of them, a female guard after the, and this is no big deal, but she just went off on me after one of the services. It was a real nice service. You have to go through all of these checkpoints to get out of there. You got to go through all these gates, and you go through these rooms where one door shuts and you're in this area, then another door opens and all that, and they ID you like three times, four times before you get in or out of there. So getting out of there, this guard had followed me from the chapel. I was coming back through, no big deal. And she seemed okay in the chapel. It was not an issue. Well, she comes up to me as we're handing our badges in to get out. You have your driver's license, and that's the way you give that, you surrender the driver's license, and then you don't get out of there without the driver's license. So that's how it works. So the guard is standing there, and I just kind of nodded to her and smiled, and she said, "Let me tell you something. You cannot hug these prisoners. I nearly shut your entire service down because of that." Now, Shannon, when I'm saying hug, these men are murderers and stuff. We're not doing full body hugs. You know, you shake their hand and you kind of do that shoulder bump thing that guys do. You know what I'm talking about? That thing. This guard went off on me and was just, and I realized right then, I said, you know, that's who That's who's in charge here, is that spirit. That really doesn't want any God stuff in there. So these men are asking and begging for more Holy Spirit power, more teaching on that, because they're getting plenty of the other. They're getting plenty of the feel-good, motivational stuff. But for some reason, that's not doing them any good. Imagine that. For some reason, these men are saying, this is the only thing that's helping us. This is answering some of our questions. You know, we can read the Bible ourselves. We don't need to just be taught what the Bible says. We can read it. But we need someone to come in here who has had some experience casting out demons, who can teach us some things and talk to us and share what they've learned and what they know, because we don't know anything. And we know we don't know anything. See, they're at a level of conscious incompetence. In other words, they know they don't know anything. Unlike the church. And here's the parallel I drew with that. Here these men are inmates, murderers, lifers, hardcore criminals, bro. This is as rough as it gets. Maximum security. Next stop from this prison's death row in Texas. And they put a lot of them to death down here. And here these people are, these guys, begging for more of the Holy Spirit, teaching on that. And you go in the average church, if I tried to teach some of this stuff, they'd kick me out. They would throw me out of there. It would make people uncomfortable. Well, why are these men who are living in, quote, the devil's house, why are they wanting to hear it? Because they recognize there's power that comes with that deliverance. There's power. And these guys understand power. It's not what you say, man, in there. It's what you can do. You may talk tough, like Muhammad Ali, talk real big, but can you back it up? When I was in the fight game, you could talk real good game. You could kind of run your mouth before the fight, but you better be able to back it up. When I was fighting for my title, to win my title, I was fighting a guy named Bam Bam Parker, and he was quite a character. Bam Bam, you know, like that was his nickname, Bam Bam Parker, and he had a tough reputation and. He was the local favorite guy. So we're fighting at this, like a Hilton. It's kind of a big hotel thing. It's where the fights were. And he arrives in a limousine. I drive up in my little truck or whatever I'm driving, you know, get out, have my you know, gloves and all, my bag. And Bam Bam, he arrives in a limousine, dude, at the front door, and he has all these like models that get out and
wow.
Yeah, it's a big production deal and the smoke has the smoke machines going and Bam Bam has arrived. So here I'm sitting over here and I'm in my dressing room with my trainer and he's like, you don't worry. He said, you're ready for this guy. And I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to knock him out. But you know, the dude's in a limousine, so he's talking all this stuff. The TV cameras are on him. It's a big deal. And Bam Bam's talking about how he's going to, you know, Bam 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 me. And I'm gonna be done in. So needless to say, I think it was the second round or the third round, I caught him with an overhand right and dropped him. And on his way down, and I'll just throw this little thing in there, I hit him with a right hand. And as he was going to the floor, because it was kickboxing, I caught him with a front kick as his head was dropping. So that was a little exclamation point on it. I probably wouldn't do that anymore. I grew out of that phase I was in. But that was, the newspapers wrote it as this. All right, you'll like this. They said Bell, which is me, Rockin' Rick Bell. They said Bell bounces Bam Bam. The lead line was, he says, Bam, Rick Bell hit him, and bam, he hit the canvas. So all of that, just to say, it doesn't matter your bravado and how much you talk a good game. It's, are you moving in any power? Is there power associated with what you're doing with your walk? And unfortunately, the longer I do this, the more I realize how completely inept the so-called church, I don't even know if I can call it the church anymore. It has nothing to do with what Jesus, how we were instructed in the book of Acts to build the church that moved in power, moved in Holy Ghost power. The church has no power, does not move in that anymore. But they think they're all right. So the Bible says that every man's ways are right in his own eyes. That's your natural instinct in your human condition, is to think that you got this. You got it figured out. Man, you're okay. And anything that comes along that you're not completely understanding of, your response is, I don't know about that. Nah, I don't know about all that. And as long as you walk through life with that attitude of, I don't know about all that stuff, and I just don't know if I believe that, you're going to miss a lot of what God has for you. The attitude you need to walk through life with is, wow, I've never heard that before. Man, let me hear more about that. Tell me more about that. Let me get some information on that. I want to hear what you have to say. Now, once you hear what the person has to say, you can do with it what you want. You can discard it, or you can embrace it. But you have to expose yourself to new information in order to grow. And this is what holds a lot of Christians back. It's that unconscious incompetence that they don't know what they don't know, but they're not willing to learn anything because they think that in their own ways are right in their own eyes, and they're quite okay. But they're not getting the truth, and they're not moving in that power that Jesus talked about. You know, when you show someone something that's supernatural, a miracle or some evidence of that, their response to that will tell you an awful lot about them. If their response is, I don't know, that could just be a coincidence. That, I don't know about that. You know, that could be something else. If that's their first response, run from them. Don't invest a lot of time with them, because you are probably going to end up like I did, investing a lot of time in people who were never going to get it. And I believe that's one of Satan's favorite tools that he has in his bag of tricks, is getting you to spend all your resources on people and situations who aren't going to get it. They don't want to get it. They want you to keep trying to convince them because they like the attention they get from you. But they really have no intention of really believing. They just like to try to convince them. And I was this ultimate, I found my validation in being able to convince people of something. You know, if I knew something to be true, not if I just suspected it was true, but if I knew something to be true, Shannon and I had this burning desire to share that with everyone I could. And, yes, you know, and I would go out of my way and I would put all this effort into it and all this emotion and all this ongoing prolonged things to try to get someone to see this. And a lot of times, to be honest, most of the time, they don't have ears to hear that. And I never understood all those years why. I mean, I understand it. Why can't you get it? And I think some of it, Shannon, if not a lot of it, is this general attitude of going through life and having to be something proven to you. You know, what's the state where they say it's the show me state? Is that Missouri? You ever hear that saying, the show me state? Is it Missouri?
I think so.
Yeah, they have a saying there, the show me state, which means they don't believe you. You got to show them before they believe it. That's not a good way to go through life. Many of us were raised in very negative households where negativity was the norm, where possibilities weren't discussed, but what was going to go wrong was discussed. Now, fortunately, I didn't come up in that kind of a hypercritical environment, because honestly, my parents were just alcoholics and they didn't give a hoot. They didn't care. As long as they could get to the liquor store before it closed, they were okay. But a lot of people have grown up in an environment of hyper-negativity and hyper-skepticism. I think the fact that I didn't grow up in that is one of the reasons I was able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a 21-year-old atheist who had never heard of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and we do this thing where we say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we do our finger on our forehead, our chest, our left shoulder and right shoulder. But I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. Certainly never heard of speaking in tongues. But because the way I saw the world was, what are the possibilities? What could be? Then I was open to that experience. And when these three Christians, young people my age, witnessed to me, I'm sitting there an atheist at 6:30 p.m. and at 6:31, I'm speaking in tongues. All right. Never heard of speaking in tongues, much less anyone do it. But because I was open to that experience and I did not have a closed mind, I was able, I believe, to break through that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think that a lot of people don't get that experience because there's a spirit of doubt that has rooted itself deep, sometimes deep down in their consciousness, deep down inside of them. There's a spirit of doubt that was planted that they believe all of this stuff, but for some reason, they just can't enter into that baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because when you begin to speak in tongues, you have totally surrendered the most unruly member of the body, which is what? The tongue. When you finally surrender, it's an absolute laying down, pouring yourself out, where there's nothing of you left, where the Holy Spirit takes you over. Now, let me say this. For some of you who are seeking and desiring the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need it. Every child of God needs the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. I'm going away so the Comforter can come back. You need this. You need it with the evidence of speaking in tongues. As someone who was an atheist myself, when the words started to utter out of my mouth, my whole life changed at that instant. I didn't have to try to be a new person. I was a new person. My personality was completely different. The way I saw the world was completely different. My friends didn't recognize me. The way I thought, the habits I had, instantly left me, because it is a spiritual thing. And it is real. So you need that, but you're going to have to move on it. When the experience came on me and the baptism of the Holy Spirit came into me, I had to literally open my mouth to let the words come out. I could have sat there, clenched my teeth, and not said anything, because my reasoning could have kicked in. The reasoning, the Bible says that every man's ways seem right in his own eyes. My reasoning could have kicked in and said, no, wait a minute, you don't need to say anything. This is not really the Holy Spirit. This is going to be just you saying some words. Now, how many of you have had that very same phrase uttered in your ear when you're trying to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and something tells you that's just you. Don't say that. It's going to sound stupid. It's going to sound like baby gibberish, and it's coming just out of your own head. If I'd listened to that voice, I wouldn't be speaking to you on Omega Man Radio tonight. I don't know where I'd be. I maybe, probably could easily be in prison with those men I was just describing. Myself going to the chapel. Because I was into some crazy stuff as an atheist, full-time musician / black belt in karate. I remember I had begun to carry a gun with me everywhere. Why? Because my musician friends said, you know, we were in Texarkana, Arkansas, and that's controlled by the mob. A lot of people don't know that. When I was there in 1979, 80, 81, the mob, the mafia, controlled that area. And how do I know? Because I worked for them. I played in their clubs. I didn't know it. I was just a kid from East Texas, but I was playing for the mob. Strange things would happen. People would disappear. I would be talking to a young lady one evening, and then I wouldn't see her for a couple of weeks, and I would ask where she is. Where'd she go? And they would tell me, oh, she's under the Walmart parking lot. I would go, what?
Wow.
What does that mean? She's gone away. She's under the Walmart parking lot. Now, Shannon, I'm telling you, this is the real deal, man.
God have mercy.
And I worked in these clubs with, so I knew this stuff was going on. So I'm telling you, I could tell you stories that, and the problem is they're all true. But, you know, I wouldn't even dare mention them to anyone, but I lived through it. So I'm telling you, I was no choir boy. I did pretty much everything. I didn't ever put a needle in my arm to do drugs, but I took every other kind of drug. I did everything that goes with that rock and roll lifestyle party thing. Every kind of party scene you can imagine, I've been there, done it. So here I am, that dude. And these Christians come in and start telling me about this Holy Spirit. And then something happens to me that's real. It changes my whole personality instantly. And it's the power. It's that Holy Spirit thing. But if I'd had that little negative, pessimistic thing, spirit on me, it could have easily blocked it. That's what I'm trying to say with all of this. And the people who are around you, who are those negative ones, you're going to have to, as best you can, put distance between you and them. Now, I'm not saying you go through life with this rose-colored glasses, Pollyannish kind of fantasy world where everything's perfect, but I'm telling you, start to look for the miraculous. Start to look for the power in things. It's all around us. You know this Super Hadron Collider that they're doing. It's called CERN, C-E-R-N. Some of you may keep up with that on the news. Some of you may, I don't care about that stuff. Well, you should care about it. Because the experiments that they are doing are, just to sum it all up, what they're trying to do is to tap in to other dimensions. That's right, other dimensions. We live in this dimension where we see, smell, touch things, but there are other dimensions around us where the spirit realm is alive. The very things we talk about, the demonic things in that realm. Well, here these scientists are, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe they've spent $17 billion to build this thing. That number may be low. But they had a piece on 60 Minutes just this last Sunday about it. But I've kept up with it. And so what they're doing is they're sending these particles around. And it's very complicated to explain, but they're crashing them together to try to, quote, see what happens. And what they're looking for are other dimensions. Other time-space dimensions. That's what we're talking about, the heavenlies. But science has recognized that's real. It's real, or they would not have spent $17 billion to build this 17-mile tunnel. I think it's 17 miles underground, and it has to be 400 degrees below freezing, and all of these. It's the most complicated machine ever built by man. The most complicated, complex machine. Scientists know that there are other realms. Now, you ask the typical uninterested fantasy football playing guy sitting on his couch on the weekends and going to the sports bar to see his teams play and can tell you every stat about Tony Romo or Tom Brady or any of the players. He can tell you all their passing yardage percentages, but doesn't know anything about the Lord. So if you went up to that individual and said, you know, they had this super collider thing over there, and it's trying to tap into other dimensions that are all around us, and it's the heavenlies. He would respond to you by going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, Twilight Zone stuff, dude. You need to chill out, man. You're getting into some weird stuff right now. I don't know about all that. Woo. Well, he's right. He doesn't know about that because he's totally uneducated and ignorant of it. So because he's ignorant of it, he completely discards it and laughs at it. When there's $17 billion machine over there that they're doing this. And they're cracking into these things. You see, the joke's on people like that because this has all been, at one time it was just theory, things like string theory were theoretical. But because of the advances in supercomputing, supercomputers, the technology we have now with the telescopes we have to see into other galaxies, much of it's no longer theory. It's factual. But people are still in this unconscious, incompetent paradigm where I don't know about all that. So that particular mindset is poison to miracles. It's poison to believers. So I'm telling you to start looking for the positive people in your life. When you share a miracle with them, you want the person that's going to say, "Why?" I mean, even if they're not a Christian, listen to me. Even if they're not a Christian, you want the person that's going to say, "Wow, that's amazing." Because that person's going to have an open door to receive the things of God. If you have a person that says, "That's not what that is. That's just a coincidence that happened. I don't believe that was an angel at that car wreck that those people saw. No, that was the lights. That was the headlights doing that." You know, we did, we put the portal thing on the video I did last week. That lady that had, she recorded these portals outside of her bathroom window. And you can see the way she's moving the camera, that it's not a light reflecting off of the bathroom window. That's impossible. I mean, you show your ignorance by even making a statement like that. Now, the person who would look at that and say, "Well, that's a light in her backyard. That's a flashlight. Whatever. That's just the reflection off the glass." That's not the person you want to hang out with, because they're going to live in a very limiting state. They're going to live in a state that's going to be harder for miracles to penetrate. I want to be with the faith walker, the believer person. The person that's going to go up to a total stranger and say, "Man, this may sound crazy to you, but I'm a Christian and the Holy Spirit just told me to come lay hands on you and pray for you. And he also told me so-and-so about you. And I'm just going to put it out there. Can I pray for you?" Now, that's the guy I want to be around. The guy that looks for the possibilities. Doesn't look for why it can't work, but looks for why it can work. That making sense to you, Shannon? Are you clicking with what I'm saying, man?
Sure.
And the longer we go in this thing, people are going to grow colder and colder with their faith and their ability. They're not warming up. They're getting colder because society, the world is getting more wicked. Things are getting worse. It's not getting better. Matthew 24:10 says, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Let me say that again. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Is lawlessness abounding? That's not talking about the laws of the municipalities where you live or the state laws. It's talking about the laws of God. Lawlessness. Because lawlessness is exploding everywhere. Now, it's reflected in the laws of the land. You see it manifested and played out in the breaking of the laws because many of the laws, most of the laws of the land, go along biblical guidelines. It's against the law to steal. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not steal." It's against the law, of course, to murder someone. The Bible says, "Don't do that." It's against the law to lie. If you're in a court of law and you lie, it's called perjury. So many of the laws do track along with that. But this lawlessness they're talking about is breaking God's laws, breaking His principles. And because of that, the love of many will grow cold. What does that mean? People are going to cool off. They're going to be worse than lukewarm. They're going to get just colder and colder and colder. They may be lukewarm now where they still have some pull, some drawing to the things of God, the power of God. But they're going to start to grow cold because lawlessness abounds and every man's way seems right in his own eyes. He thinks he's got it. He's got it figured out. And that one blocking spirit, that doubting spirit can do more to keep you out of what the destiny that God has for you than anything else. So you have to get the negative, the non-believing people at a distance in your life and stop trying to convince them of the truth. There comes a time when you have to shake the dust from your feet. Have you ever had to do that, Shannon? Have you ever had to shake the dust from your feet when you administered and ministered and done all you could in a situation, but it just, you felt like you were being played? Have you ever experienced that?
Absolutely.
It's hard in ministry because you put so much into it and you pour so much effort into all of it. And then sometimes it's just not going to work. An example of this, not long ago, there was a ministry that I'm real fond of, this guy and all of the, I've done a lot to help this ministry and you know, seeded into it and given to it and really put a lot of effort in to get this ministry going. Holy Spirit spoke to me a while back and said, "This ministry will fail." I said, "What? What do you mean it'll fail?" And that's what he said. "This ministry will fail." And I mean, it was a clear word from the Lord. I don't know about you, Shannon, but I have different degrees when I hear from the Lord of in other words, the emphasis and the how more emphatic it is sometimes. Sometimes it's a very definite word, and sometimes it's a subtle little thing that I have to parse and say, well, is that, you know, me? Is that my thought or is that from the Lord? But by reason of use, our senses are exercised. So Bible says, "My sheep know my voice and will follow no other." So we have to train ourselves to do that. But this was a very strong and emphatic from the kind that just sits you straight up in your chair. And I don't get those all the time. In fact, I rarely get them. I normally get a subtle just knowing in my spirit that, but this was a word from the Lord said, "This ministry will fail." And that word came to me, I don't know, a few months ago. And recently, it's, you know, come to my attention that the ministry's basically failed in the mission that what it was trying to accomplish. So the reason that a lot of for that failure was this particular person in the ministry had a hard time taking counsel, listening. He didn't receive counsel very well. He felt like he was, you know, smart enough and kind of knew what he needed to do, but it wasn't enough in the end because he couldn't break through that, you know, just humble himself and realize that his ways seem right in his own eyes, but they may not be the right way. But we have to stop trying to convince people who are unconvincible. Now, some people just, you know, some people like to just argue with you. I know you've known people like that. I've had acquaintances like that through the years. When they are in an arguing mood, they just like to argue. And you can't win an argument with a person who wants to argue. Oh, you may think you've won. You may just out-talk them, outlast them. But there's a wise saying that says that someone convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. Meaning you know, you can argue them, but unless they open up their heart to receive it, they'll walk away there and from there and say, okay, man, you win, just because they're tired of fighting and they raise the white flag, but they're still of the same mindset. But I used to spend an inordinate amount of time trying to convince people because I found, and some of you will relate to this, I found some of, if not a lot, of my validation in being able to convince people to think the way I thought, because that somehow in my mind validated the way I thought, that it was the right way. Now, that may sound convoluted and a bit complex, but I don't think so. I think you're probably grasping what I'm trying to say here is, I would try so hard and lose sleep at night trying to think what I was going to say to this person the next time I spoke with them. Yeah, I'll say that. That'll get them to see. And it wasn't for me about winning an argument. It was about convincing them of the truth, because I so not only wanted them to see the truth, I needed them to see the truth, because that somehow fed something in me that was broken. It was a demonic stronghold in my life that I got validation from doing that. So I had to get deliverance from that. But some of you are in that same category now. And a funny thing is, one of the reasons that I did well in my career, my corporate career thing, because it all revolved around sales and marketing, I had a knack to sell things. And that took me a long way. But here's one of the criteria that I discovered along the way that they look for. They, meaning the top companies in the world, the top sales managers in the world, look for this characteristic, this trait in people that they want to hire and groom to be the number one salespeople. And that is, the people that they look to make superstars out of have to have a burning desire to convince others of their opinion. That was strange to me when I first discovered that. But that is one of the things that the top sales trainers in the world look for in other words, they can predict who's going to be a sales superstar. And that's one of the highest predictors. Not a desire to convince others of your way of thinking. Listen, a need to convince others. That struck me when I first read that. It was years ago, but it struck me. And it just came back to me as I began to put this lesson together tonight. That's that spirit that's driving. It was driving me. Shannon, I had a need to convince others. And when I couldn't convince them, I felt defeated. And that I was less than, and I wasn't validated. And that is what a lot of people struggle with. And you're in a world, you're walking in a world that is growing colder because lawlessness is abounding. So fewer and fewer people are going to be able to be convinced. I'm sorry it's that way. Now listen, you put them in prison, they'll get convinced. they move into the devil's house, they're going to start looking for some God. They'll go one or two ways. They'll either go so deep into that devilish activity in prison that they'll die, they'll get killed, or they'll kill somebody, or and that'll just put them in the hole for the rest of their life, or they'll turn to God. But for the rest of you guys, you know, you're going to have to start to think and open up your mind to things you may not understand, may not make sense to you. It may be new to you. It may be out of your comfort zone. But all of this Holy Ghost stuff, this demonic, this deliverance, let me just let you in on this little secret. Nobody knows an awful lot about this. Some people know more than others about the whole demonic realm and deliverance. Some people, by earthly standards, we would say know a lot about it, but no one knows that much because it's one of the mysteries of God. Shannon, you know this. Just when you think you have it figured out, don't you run into a demon that turns it completely 180 degrees on you?
Brother, I've learned that I've only scratched the surface in the knowledge of the deliverance ministry. Yeah, we know the basics, but there's so much more to learn.
And listen, you are the guy in the world who listens to this stuff six nights a week. If anybody's going to learn a lot, Shannon Ray Davis, it's going to be you. You understand what I'm saying? And you realize, even being exposed to the most powerful deliverance ministers on the planet that God is using right now, you still know that you just have barely scratched the surface. Because this is such a vast subject, but you have to open your ears up, open your eyes up, because you're going to learn things that you would not have believed maybe just a few years ago, maybe a few months ago, if you're open to it. But you have to be open. Here's the analogy I use. If you're going to play catch with me, Shannon, you're going to put a baseball glove on. I'm going to put a glove on. If you throw me the ball and I don't catch it, well, I'm not playing. I mean, I have to actively be engaged with you. I have to put that glove up to catch that ball. A lot of people just aren't playing the game. They're not catching. The balls are being thrown to them, but for whatever reason, they're not catching it. You have to begin to catch the ball. The balls are coming at you. God's throwing things. He's no respecter of persons. He is trying to get your attention. He's trying to give you gifts. Omega Man family, listeners on this broadcast, he has gifts he is wanting to deliver to you because you are his hands, feet, mouth, eyes, ears on this planet. And he wants to get these things to you. You, though, are going to have to get in a position to catch them. You're going to have to open up and say, I'm in the game. Throw me the ball. I'm in it. Try to quell that. If there's one thing I want you to take away from this broadcast tonight, try to shut down that spirit of doubt, that spirit of questioning everything new that you hear. Now, some things, you have to use wisdom, of course, but your Holy Spirit in you will discern that. That's what discernment is about. But you're going to have to open up to new things, or you're never going to be anything different or anything more than you are right now if you don't open yourself up to new experiences out of your box, out of your comfort zone, out of your norm. Because God is wanting to do some things we don't even understand. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. See, we can't even comprehend this stuff. If you try to tell the average carnal-minded person this, they go, I don't know about all that God stuff. Nah, I don't know about this. I was having a conversation just this weekend, and was talking about the supernatural. This woman was talking to this gentleman, and he was a paranormal guy, investigator guy. And I was listening to the conversation, and he said, he's talking about spirits and demons. And this lady's, and somehow I got brought into the conversation, and he said, so what do you think about this? And I said, well, you know, I know quite a bit about this demon thing. Oh, really? I said, Yeah, and so I told them a little bit about, just a little bit, because again, you know, they have to have ears to hear. Told them what I did. So this woman says, well, I don't believe in demons. She's standing right next to me. I said, well, ma'am, they believe in you.
That's right.
And she looked at me. She had this puzzled look on her head, on her face. I said, you see that building? We were standing next to a building. It's about a three-story building. I said, if you went up on the top of that building and stepped off, even though you may not believe in gravity, gravity believes in you, and it will pull you to the ground in a heap. So because you can't see gravity, you still believe in it because it has evidence all around. The spirit world has evidence all around if you just start opening your eyes and looking at it and not saying, nah, you're going to have to prove that to me. You're going to have to show me something. You're going to have to prove that. If you go through life with that attitude, you're going to miss most of what God has for you, because the things of God are mysterious. They come in ways that you don't expect. His ways are above your ways, and you're not going to understand how these things align. But you have to get yourself out of the box and realize things that you don't expect to be from the Holy Spirit just may be. So you just move on that. The Bible says you'll hear a voice behind you. It says go to the left or to the right. You got to be moving for that voice to tell you where to go. So sometimes you just have to take a step. I had a ministry guy. He was kind of a mentor of mine years and years ago. Tell me, when you don't know what to do, when you're seeking the Lord and he's not saying anything to you, he said, just keep doing what you're doing until he changes it. I thought, wow, that's profound, but how true that is. Just keep doing what you're doing. When you don't know what you need to do, keep doing what you're doing until God gets a hold of you. But have an open mind, and there are going to be some new things. I'm always talking about new paradigms. They're going to come into your life. They're going to radically change your perspective on things, if you're open to it, because we are in a radical time. Shannon, things are radical. Radical things are taking place right now, and it's happening at breakneck speed. And this CERN over there, the Super Hadron Collider, is no small thing, literally. There are many implications from that, because what they're looking for, and some of you may know this, but if you don't, they're looking for the God particle. It's too complicated to try to explain, and I couldn't do it justice anyway. But it's the Big Bang. It's where it all started. They're looking for that particle, the Higgs particle. Go back and watch the 60 Minutes thing. It's pretty informative on this. It was last Sunday. But there are a lot of things that are going to come into this realm, and you need to be ready and prepared for that. So, Shannon, I'm going to give it back to you, brother, and we're going to give this message a title tonight, and we're going to call this The Danger of Negative People.
The Danger of Negative People.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, awesome teaching tonight. As we're preparing to close, I want you to tell us about your website, how people can make contact with you, and how they can support your ministry.
I sure will, brother. You can find me at heavenlywarriors.com. That's my website. There's a PayPal button right there, and anything that's donated is greatly appreciated. It helps offset the cost of the ministry, and anything small, large, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, it will be used for God's work. I can guarantee you that. It's heavenlywarriors.com. You can reach me email at Rick, R-I-C-K, at heavenlywarriors.com. That's HEAVENLYWARRIORS.com. And just send me an email, and we'll try to get in contact with you. I do some Skype deliverance and correspond with people as time allows. Some of that, again, is time intensive, but as time allows, I try to do that. So I love to hear from you. Any kind of encouraging word, you can just drop me an email and say if this is blessing you or whatever. That means a lot to ministers like myself, Shannon, and all the other men and women who come on here. Because, you know, to be honest, I'm in a studio talking to this box called a microphone. I'm not looking at anyone. I'm just talking to this box, and sometimes the little voice starts telling you, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Who in the world is listening to you babble about this stuff? So I can't tell you how encouraging it is to me personally when you drop me a line and say, man, you're blessing me with this. And Shannon is the same way. So, man, any of the encouraging words you can send his way, he's the workman in all of this stuff. We just come on here to try to support him, but he's doing this stuff every day, day in and day out. And he is a tremendous blessing to me. He's been a blessing to me personally as a friendship that we've developed. Plus what he does with his ministry. He's just a great guy. So make sure you support him any way that you can. And I will look forward to talking to you next week.
Rick, we love and appreciate you. Another home run broadcast tonight. You're coming in late. It's called The Danger of Negative People. Go to heavenlywarriors.com. You can find out more about Brother Rick's ministry, support his ministry. And Brother Rick, we'll see you next time.
Yes, you will. God bless all of you.
Enjoyed it tonight, my brother.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.